Amen. Chapter 8 in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want you to read that out loud with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I want to back up to the 7th chapter and read these words of Paul, which you've read several times. Paul writes these words, and it seems sort of shocking to some that Paul would write such words as these in the 14th verse of chapter 7 in Romans. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Paul says, I am carnal. And he says, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Amen. You may be seated. I read that slowly, because it's easy to go through that real fast and say, what's all this I do and I don't do and all this business? Hey, Sister Charlotte, welcome home. Good to see you. Yeah, let me shake your hand. Welcome back. Amen. So anyway, you know, you can get hung up on these words, but really there's a message here that we can all relate to. How many of you ever have a struggle with flesh and spirit? Ever? You ever find yourself feeling really condemned, especially after Brother Rutledge preaches some of these sermons like I've been preaching lately? You better repent, and if you ever did it again, you didn't really repent stuff, you know? All of this is never to put condemnation on anybody. There is hope in Christ. And that's not to make light of any teaching and not to make light of any instructions in the Word of God. And not in any way to lessen the true impact of the instruction of the Word that we must forsake all sin, especially if we want to get God's promise activated in our lives. But it's necessary sometimes that we also, and this is the difficult thing, we're here with church people that have been serving God for a while. We're here with some that are just for the first time hearing some things that many of us heard years ago. And then we're on the internet where thousands, either presently or in days to come, that will be hearing these words, are hearing some words that really should be only listened to attentively by people that have been serving God for a while. It's like picking up an instruction manual for somebody that's, you know, aviator instructions for somebody that's been flying for several years, and you never have even learned anything about an airplane, you know. So here's somebody that has all these people that are thinking about, maybe I'd like to fly a plane someday. Then you've got these other people in the class that have been flying for years, and it's difficult to find a place where everybody can receive what they need. And I find it really difficult sometimes because of the way we're set up on the internet, on TV, in a local church with visitors, with people that have been around for a long time, with hurting people, people with big needs in their lives. Some of you really need to find out, is there any hope that I can get past this pain, you know, this that I'm going through right now? And while we may be addressing one thing, and that may be what you would really need to hear right now, because there's that emptiness or that longing, and you may think there's nothing in the subject that we may have tonight that would really apply to you. Here's what God does. He's the master of these situations. He's able to take this moment of, you might say, gathering in this classroom, which reaches around the world, and has people here from various backgrounds, some just being introduced to God, others having walked with God for a while. He's able to take whatever subject is chosen. And as long as the preacher can be flexible, and as long as you can listen with ears to hear, God can work this thing into something that will benefit you. He can. So don't turn the preacher off just because you don't get it right now. You wouldn't get it if you were sitting in a manufacturing plant where they're teaching people that have been building cars for several years how to build this new one that's coming out this coming year, you know, all the instruction plans. You wouldn't get it. But if somebody could come in there and say, you know, we know there's some people here who don't know the first thing about what we're talking about, but we have something here for you too. And only God really is able to do that in the work of God. So let's just depend on Him, okay? Would you do me a favor? Pray with me right now that God would give you a word that you need to hear tonight. Let's pray. Jesus, we're just asking somebody here in this building and somebody out there watching and listening somewhere that regardless of which direction we go and who that we're trying to possibly reach in one way or another, God, that you would just take full charge, direct your word, cause the word spoken to be what needs to be heard. Let somebody be filled with something good with a few words spoken in love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You see, if you start to climb a mountain, and you say you're a mountain climber and you've been doing this for a while, and you start out, you don't just start out to climb the big mountain with all the rocks and the steep places and the difficult places. You don't just say, I'm going to climb a mountain and just take off and climb it. There has to be some preparation. There has to be somebody around to tell you, there are things you should do and things you shouldn't do. Because when you get past a certain point after the instructions, there's going to come a time in that experience that if you weren't instructed right, correctly, it can make the difference in whether you make it to the next step or you fall all the way back. And so, if you can kind of put these pictures in your mind while I'm talking to you tonight. The Word of God that is sharp and strong sometimes. It's to prepare you. It's never to destroy you. It's never to hurt you. It's never, even if it seems like it, it is never to browbeat you. Even if the preacher shouts, even if somebody says something that just completely goes against how you think it should be. Kind of endure it if you can. The Word of God says, there's coming a day when people will not endure sound doctrine. But if it's sound doctrine, it may be strong and it needs to be endured. Because somewhere between here and heaven, there's going to be a time that you need to know what to do to take that next step. And if it's not done right, you may fall all the way back into a situation where there's no hope that you will ever be saved. And that would be a time of being dead. Just thank God that you're alive right now. If you're alive and you can hear what's said right now, There's hope for you. God is here to hear you respond to His Word. And the only way you can do that is if there's life in you. Now this body that you have, the same body that breathes air, that uses that air to praise God, in some cases, in the same day that some would praise God, they also curse, using the same lungs and the same efforts. The brain that you have, the thought process. There's sometimes that we think thoughts that should not be there, but whatever it takes to think those thoughts, it takes the same kind of process or effort to think on the things of God. The feet you have, where they walk. They can walk in places where they should not go, and sometimes they do. But the same feet can turn around and walk in a direction that would be pleasing to God. Amen? And whichever you're using your body for, your body, according to the Word of God, is to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? But there is this problem with the human body, with the flesh. It's more than the physical makeup, but there's a spirit in man that has been handed down to us, and we have inherited a sinful nature. We have inherited a sinful nature, and that we would like to do, many times we find ourselves having a difficult time doing that, which we really know we should do. And other things that we should never do, we find ourselves, you know, wait a minute, why am I doing these things? And then, you know, back and forth, and we wrestle and we toss and we think thoughts of condemnation. And it's easy to forget the Word of God when you get to thinking on the dark side. When you start thinking about, oh my, and, you know, you can look in the Old Testament and you can see where God, you know, in so many words, He said, I'm going to kill all you. I'm going to kill my own children. You know, the way you've been disobedient, you've turned to other gods, I'm going to destroy you. And when God says, I'm going to destroy you, He means I'm going to kill you. Because you've been lying, you've been disobedient, you've broken all the rules, you've gone against my commandments, you've done this and you've done that. And how would you be like to be sitting in that audience? And have God Himself look at you and say, you know what, I'm just going to kill you. But the people that endured that listened to God, that stayed in the place where they could hear from God, sooner or later heard that same God saying, but for my name's sake, I will spare you. And I will lift you up. And I will take you by the hand. And I will establish you. And I will give you hope where there was no hope. And I will bring you out of the pits. And I will put you in the high places. And it seems like this God that, and one lady that attended here years ago said, even God was wishy-washy. Just read the Old Testament. No, God's not wishy-washy. God is a God who knows how to bring the message across. Because He said, when He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, saith the Lord, He's well able to destroy every one of us instantly and send us all to hell right now. And perhaps most of us deserve that. And His Word so many times comes out to say, if you do that, you're going to be lost. If you do that, you're going to be punished. If you do this, if you do that, you're in trouble with God. And it's the truth. But keep coming back to church anyhow. Pretty soon, the love will start shining through. Because for His name's sake, it all ends up at the cross where there's mercy. The whole creation points to and from an old rugged cross. Everything that ever was that went wrong in human nature had a place to go. And it was going to be on a cross. It was going to be in a place where a son would be offered up, where blood would be shed, and reminders all along the way, animal sacrifices, turtle doves and pigeons, priests and people out tending sheep, lessons along the way, prophets and people telling other people the things of God, showing the way, giving hope in times when it seemed that it's all way out there somewhere and it's unreachable. And yet God provided promises, and then He fulfilled His promises with a cross, with a bleeding Lamb of God on that cross. And that bleeding Lamb of God, just before He died, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That "forgive them, for they know not what they do" reached all the way back to Adam. It wasn't just those people. It's not just a Hollywood story. It's not just a book we're reading. It's not just a story we're telling here. This is Almighty God putting together something that only God can do, to tell all those who have been wavered, who've gone the wrong way, who finally came back and said, "I'm going to do what God says do, no matter what." Mercy and truth met together on that cross. The cross is more than a piece of wood going that way and up and down. It's more than wood, vertical and horizontal. The cross is a place where truth and mercy cross paths. It is a pivotal point where destruction and hope meet, where God's vengeance and God's love has to have a conference. The agony of Jesus crying, saying, "Father, forgive, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." It's easy for us as human beings to try to relate to that and say, "Well, you know, I would be praying like that too if I knew I was about to be crucified, if I knew I was about to be nailed to a tree." Sure you would, but that agony, as it were, great drops of blood, His sweat from His brow, Jesus knew. He knew that His purpose and mission on earth was about to be fulfilled. And what He was about to do was on behalf of all humanity and all creation. This was not just an ordinary man out there dreading going to that cross, because everything that He was all about was for that purpose, to go to that cross. Because God Himself had prepared this as a remedy for all humanity. Jesus, the man, had a purpose. His purpose was to die for mankind. That's why when He was walking on the shores of Galilee, no matter who it was, they would call out to Him and say, "Have mercy on me. Open my eyes, I can't see. Touch me. Oh, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I know I would be made whole." All He was doing is giving a message to all people. There's hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ. There is a way when there seems to be no way in Christ. Often He would say, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me" is not just a debate subject. It's the truth that Jesus wanted the whole world to know. You can get to God because God gave you a Savior that had to bleed and die and meet with justice and mercy, meet with vengeance and love and kindness. All this took place on the tree. Priests that could not live up to God's expectation, falling into sin for centuries, came and went. As people came and presented themselves to the priest, who were also sinful priests, who also had to offer up sacrifices for their own sins. But when we come to Jesus, we got the final priest. We got the high priest of all high priests. We got the one that really can hear your confession. And He really can forgive your sins. He really can put them away out of your lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is the priest above all priests. He is the consummation and the conclusion of it all. He is that which made all the priesthood make sense. If there hadn't been a Jesus to come, there would have been no reason to have priests of the Levitical priesthood and so forth. But there had to be a Savior. And God had this thing planned out. Now, in our day, we struggle. And those people before Calvary and those that lived during that time of the cross were people just like we are. They had hang-ups and struggles and problems, and many of them did not know what to do. And many times they turned to different things for answers. Witchcraft, idol worship, just a lot of things. They just didn't know what to do. But every once in a while there'd come a preacher along. One preacher, Paul the Apostle, he walked into a place and there was an inscription in a place that said, "To the unknown God." A group of people worshiping a God, but they didn't know who he was. And they just wrote the words, "To the unknown God." And they were trying to talk to the God they did not know. And so Paul just stood up and he said, "You know what? I noticed your inscription. And I want to introduce you to the God that's unknown to you. I have met him. I know him. And I want you to come to know him too." You know what he preached to them? He preached to them about Jesus Christ. He talked to them about Jesus Christ, who's able to reconcile us unto God, the true and living God, the creator of all things, the one that made the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch riding on a chariot, reading a scroll, reading in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. The New Testament was not even yet written. And he was reading about one who would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Surely the chastisement of us all was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And here's Philip joining himself to the chariot, because God sent him from a Holy Ghost revival that he's in the middle of. People were being baptized all over Samaria, getting the Holy Ghost. The sick were being healed. And God said, "Go out to the desert. There's one man out there that needs to talk to you." Thank you, Jesus. And he's out there, and the Lord says, "Go join yourself to that chariot." And he finds this man reading this scroll. And he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," the man said, "except some man guide me?" So Philip got up beside this man. He started reading that same scripture with him. In Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely the chastisement of us all was on him. And by his stripes we are healed. If you really look into that, "by his stripes we are healed," that's more than just coming to church sick and grabbing a bottle of olive oil and anointing somebody's head and praying in the name of Jesus. Although we are instructed, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith for the sick. And there is healing provided for sick people. But this healing talked about in the book of Isaiah was healing for people wandering in darkness. It was healing for the lost. It was healing for the hopeless. It was healing for that seemingly could never be healed, because there had to be something beyond what was presently there as Isaiah wrote those words. And even this Ethiopian eunuch did not know what it all meant. He was reading words he didn't understand. But Philip had been somewhere where he had heard some preaching. He'd heard some testimonies. He had experienced some joy. He had been a part of a great move of God. Amen. The two of them together in the same classroom, one would know what's going on, the other would need some help. "I don't understand what's going on." That's how it is here. We got some here who know what's going on. We got some others here who said, "Somebody tell me what's going on." Somebody tell me what's going on. How can I know if somebody doesn't explain it to me? That's what the testimonies are about. All of our testimonies should be giving praise to God for what God has done. We should all study for a testimony, just like the preacher searches in prayer and looks at the Bible and tries to find something to be edifying to the people of God. We should study to show ourselves approved before we go to the pulpit to testify and have some kind of idea what it is that God would want us to say. We should pray over our songs before we sing them. Because who knows where somebody out there may be needing somebody to show them what it's all about. Amen. So Philip joins himself to this Ethiopian eunuch. And in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, he preaches to him Jesus. Jesus did not exist as a man during that time. The only Jesus that there was in the time of Isaiah, I'm talking about during that time of the book of Isaiah being written, the only Jesus that there was that existed in the time of Isaiah when those words were written was the Jesus that inspired him to write the words. But that Jesus was Almighty Spirit of God that created all things. And the reason we can call him Jesus is because 2,000 years ago, a son of that Jesus came to this world sent by that Jesus who said to all the people, I came in my Father's name. And he revealed the name of the Father. See, that's why when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you are being baptized in the name of the Father. That understanding should be easy for somebody out there that never saw it before. Maybe this is your moment, see, because you didn't know which way I'm going. I start off, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And all of a sudden, we're telling somebody that Jesus got his name by inheritance. When you inherit something from somebody, especially if you inherit your name from your father, that means your father had the same name you inherit. Anybody understand that? Anybody know the name of the Father? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the name of the Father. I know the name of the Son. It's important that we get this information straight because it's one of the most important things in all of theology and all of God's Word being instructed to the human race. That we have one God to serve, and that's the only one to serve. And one name that's above all names, above every name that is named. One name under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, how do we get into this? There's no condemnation. Now, how do we get past this thing that keeps us struggling? There's only one thing that has been provided that'll fix it. That same cross. We sing the song, "The blood will never lose its power." It reaches the highest mountain. It flows through the lowest valley. Thank you, Jesus. Now this, you know, we're not literally talking about a mountain out here with blood going up it. We're not talking about a valley out here in the Rockies somewhere, a deep valley. We're not talking about a Grand Canyon that's all red filled with blood flowing through it. But we're talking about something greater than all of that. What Jesus did at Calvary, that blood shed on that cross was made available to every human being before Calvary and after Calvary and during Calvary. That's what we're talking about. It goes to the highest places. It flows to the lowest places, the valleys of despair. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. But what difference does that make if he's with me? The reason it makes a big difference is the one that's with you is the one that took you from judgment to mercy at the cross. Thank you, Jesus. The truth is we all have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. The truth is we were all sinners. We were born in sin. shaped in iniquity. We have no right to even praise the Lord from just based on where we came from. But that no right to praise the Lord got nailed to the cross. And here came some blood flowing that gave us the right to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, Jesus knew all this had to take place. The nails going in the hands and the feet and the piercing of the side had to happen. Some religions only see Jesus still on the cross. They only see him as a history lesson, something that happened a long time ago, but they lack something. When you can really see that this Jesus on the cross was shedding his blood for you so that right now where you are, that cross, that mercy could come and be with you right here, right now, you'll find what Paul found out. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh. He said, 3 times I sought God about this thing. 3 times I talked to God about it. Oh, I want to be delivered from this thing, this messenger of Satan that constantly buffets me. And the carnal-minded crowd will argue many times, say, I wonder what that thorn was. But as you read the writings of Paul, it's easy to see the struggle was between flesh and spirit. His thorn in the flesh was his thorn in the flesh. That's your thorn too. Your thorn is in your flesh. We all have a thorn to deal with. Your flesh is the messenger of Satan to buffet you. It's not, you know, don't go back and try to figure out if he was having a tobacco habit or a drinking problem or a drug problem or a stomach ache. His thorn was the very flesh where his spirit was housed. And every time he would do something right, there was something in him wanting to do wrong. That he would do, he didn't do. And that he would not do, that he did. And that he would not, he would. And that he would not. And he struggled with this thing. Don't tell me that's foreign to you. I know I'm not supposed to do what I'm about to do. And you tremble. I'm not supposed to do this. Sometimes people justify themselves. Well, Sister So-and-so, she does all kinds of things. So, look at, I like what you said, not anymore. Praise God, you got a smile on your face tonight. Hallelujah. But, you know, brother so-and-so, look how he lives. That won't work. The Word of God says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Paul wrote to one of the churches, he said, I don't want to know anything among you other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What's he talking about here? He said, I don't care what it is. I don't care what kind of problem. I don't care how hard your preacher's preached at you. I don't care what you've had to struggle with, even if you thought about leaving the church. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you talked about, gossiped about, murmured about, complained about, felt bad about. I'm just telling you, I don't want to know any of that. All I want to know is this. Does the blood still have its effect in your church for you? That'll settle all murmuring. It'll fix all complaining. It'll take away all fear and doubt and frustration and unbelief. That blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the healing. Those stripes were for your healing. In other words, when you're in sin or you've fallen off the wagon, so to speak, you can be healed. There is therefore no condemnation. There's therefore, everybody say now. There is therefore now no condemnation. I don't care how hot the preacher may make hell sound and how condemned you feel because everything he talked about you were guilty of just the last 24 hours. My God, he's just painting a picture of me and everybody, somebody told him something. That's what's going on here. He might as well just call my name out because everything he said, I did it all. Oh my God, I can't believe I've lied, I've murmured, I've stolen, I've done this, I've done that, I've tried to cover up this, I've drunk this, I smoked that, I did, Oh my God, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless. All I want to know about you, my friend, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No matter what you did before church tonight, the blood shall never lose its power. The blood shall never lose its power. There is therefore now no condemnation. Tell me, Philip, what is this all about? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. What it's all about, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, is Jesus Christ came and bled and died so that you could repent of your sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the Holy Ghost. And a few minutes later, here comes these two riders on this chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch looks down, and there's an oasis out there in the middle of that desert. He says, "Here's water! What hinders me to be baptized?" And the Bible says that both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I didn't read in there that he just told that eunuch, said, "All you got to do is accept Christ as your personal Savior and just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you'll be all right." No, he went ahead and told him the whole story. We don't know all the details of the words, but we know where he's been and what he's been teaching all over Samaria. All he was doing over in Samaria is teaching everybody, you need to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, you need that Holy Ghost. And the whole city was being stirred with Holy Ghost revival. In the middle of that, God calls Philip out to this desert place to this one man who doesn't understand what Isaiah's writing about. And whatever he talked, the word says he preached unto him. He took that same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And I could go all night telling you what I think he might have said. Because if he preached to him Jesus, there's a lot about Jesus that can be said. Thank you, Jesus. But whatever he said, it resulted in the men saying, "There's some water right there. Baptize me. What's to stop me from getting baptized?" And that man, Philip, took him into that water. And you might not read in that scripture that it says, "And he baptized in the name of Jesus." Well, don't use that as a scripture to try to prove that there's any other way to get baptized. Because the only way Philip baptized or believed in baptism was in Jesus' name. Praise God. Just because the words are not there that you think should be there, if it means that, you just need to get your carnal mind on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Here's the key. In that verse, you find the key for victory. Those that are in Christ Jesus have no condemnation who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because you see, this flesh is pulling one way and the Spirit is pulling another. This something within you that's longing to live right is going in a different direction. And that something in you that's wanting to keep it like it once was, because that was so satisfying, it felt so good, and seemed so nice. You know, like my friend said, "You mean I got to give up all my cussing?" You know what? If you can decide to do that without having to be on your deathbed, if you can become desperate enough before God tonight that you're willing to do anything as if you know you're going to die this week. There was an old song years ago, "If Jesus came to your house to spend some time with you, what would you do?" You know, you get this phone call, you know, so this is Jesus. First of all, you might have a hard time believing it, but if you were convinced this is really Jesus calling me on the telephone, and I'm going to come over to your house and spend the rest of the day with you, and I'm just down the street, I should be there in 5 minutes. What would you do? Well, the song has people hiding magazines, throwing things under the rug, you know, throwing things in the bathtub, and, you know, locking the bathroom door, and, you know, and meeting him at the door and say, "Hi, Jesus." Yeah, just hope he don't open the closet door, because everything comes tumbling out, you know. We used to do that at our house, you know. Somebody's coming, you know. It depends on who they are and what they know and where they're coming from. But, you know, here they come, you know. Brother so-and-so is a missionary. He's been over in the Philippines all these years, having all these souls find God. And he calls, "Hey, I'm in town. I'm right down the street. I'll be at your house in a couple of minutes. Got the coffee pot on? Yeah, come right on, Dad." And I say, "Hurry, hurry, hurry." You know. And when he gets there, we're all still there. "Come in, Brother Buck Miller. So good to see you." Mama said, she sees something sticking out under the rug, "Fix it," you know. And she's probably listening right now, so I know I'm exaggerating a little, Mom, but I mean, you know, let's preach it without a little bit of exaggerating. I'm parabolizing. I ain't exaggerating too much, because I remember we did that over and over. Maybe I'm not exaggerating at all. Maybe I'm not really telling. I'm just trying to save face for my mama. I mean, there's stuff that we watch that we, you know, we were part of a group of people that they told us, "You're not to have a TV in your house. Or you're not to own a TV." And the thing about it was for the preachers. It was a preacher's club. I mean, it's a preacher's organization. If you wasn't a preacher, it was okay. But if you're a preacher, you're not supposed to watch TV. But I was a preacher's kid, and I wasn't a preacher. And my grandma lived in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas. She wasn't a preacher. And she owned a TV, and we borrowed it. And, but just in case somebody would get the wrong idea, we kept it covered up in the closet, you know. But sometimes when nobody, Mother, I hope you're not watching this. Sometimes when certain people would come, depending on who it is, just depending on who it is, we already knew how they felt about it, and they'd watched it with us before, so it's no problem. "Oh, yeah, Brother so-and-so's coming over." "Come on in, brother. We're just watching this. We'll turn it off so we can visit in a minute, but we've got to see what this ending is going to be first. Just hold on a second." And they turn it off, but there's none of that running, throw it in the closet. We were all trained. We knew exactly what to do if certain ones were coming. Me and my sister, I mean, one of us grabbed the quilt, the other one grabbed the TV. It was always a small TV. We were able to put it, you know, back there and hide it real fast, shut the door, turn around, be at the front door before they could even knock. But what if Jesus came to your house? Now, I'm not, you know, I don't think we were doing anything wrong. It's just television. Oh, I know all you people. You want those stones, but, you know, you're on the internet right now, so shut up. The thing that's wrong with television is the same thing that's wrong with being hooked into the internet. And I think the internet's probably worse. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us that are using TV and internet to go into this deep darkness of sin and tell everybody Jesus did die on a cross. And there is hope for you, no matter where you are in this process, whether you're a beginner just hearing this for the first time, or whether you've been around for a long time and now you're struggling with, "I would, but I cannot. But if I could, I would, but I can't because He would not. But if He would, and I could, I would, but I can't because He would not, so I cannot. But I think I will anyhow. Because He'll understand. He's merciful, He's kind and gracious, and I'll repent after I do this." Don't tell me you haven't struggled with some of this in your growing times trying to figure out how to live for God. that some people even will tell you, you know, I'm going to do this thing. I know I'm going to have to repent of it later, but I'm going to do it. I'm glad God's a merciful judge, and He's a righteous judge. And I really am not God. I cannot judge all the things that I know that people have done that I've known through the years. You know, when they die, I try to think the good things, believe the best, even those that fell on their heads drunk and drowned in the water, you know. They had nice shoes, you know, sticking up out of the water when they were dying. One guy, you know, all he could do is whistle. He was a good whistler, and the preacher preached a whole funeral about how good a whistler he was. Couldn't think of anything else good about the man, so man, he could whistle. Ain't nobody could whistle like that guy. Man, he could whistle. What a good whistler he was. But you know what? In the final analysis of it all, it doesn't really make any difference what anybody says at your funeral. It's not going to change anything. Some people plan their funerals out and they want the preacher to say just the right words. And one lady in St. Louis gave me a wad of money in my hand and said, do all you can to get my daddy into heaven. And I did. I did all I could do. But you know what? There's nothing I could do to get him into heaven or hell. Can't change it. I would never tell anybody you're going to hell because you didn't believe what I think you're supposed to believe at a time of a funeral. No, the time I tell that is when we go to church. Everybody here is alive. And I said to you, you know what? If you're going to climb this mountain, you need to hear these instructions because you might get halfway up there and go falling all the way down to the bottom. So while you're alive, let me tell you something. If you don't repent and get baptized in Jesus' name and get all those filthy sins out of your life, you're going to go to hell. And I see you back there say, oh, me, you know. I wish we had a nice preacher here that could talk soft. Say it easy. Okay, I'm going to change. My friends, from now on, I want to speak to you in a way that perhaps I can be received. I do not want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to break your eardrums. And I don't want to hold you for a long time because what I got to say is very, very simple and very true. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name or you're going to burn in hell forever. Either way, it don't sound good, does it? But when we get to the funeral, what are you going to say, Brother Rutledge? Then I'm going to say something to this effect. You know what? Praise God for this brother or this sister. Thank God. This is a praying mother. So, you know, member of the First Baptist Church. You know, member of the bingo club. A loving mother, loving person, good in the community. Member of this, member of that, wonderful person. I'll comfort the family. And they're sitting there saying, oh, if anybody's going to heaven, I know my mom was going to heaven. I know my mom. I'm not going to debate with them. I want to hope with them. If there's any hope, it's in Christ. And you know what? All the preaching and debating at the time of death will not change the situation. And if God has a plan that I don't know about, that's fine with me. All I can tell you is all I know is there is a provision made on an old rugged cross. And we can get in on it. We can get in on it through repentance, which is a type of God's being buried. It's a type of being nailed to the cross. It's a type of, and the baptism is a type of being buried with Him. And coming out of the water is a type of coming, Jesus coming out of the tomb to walk with Him in newness of life. Our repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost experience is simply our way of doing what God has provided for us to go back to Calvary and have that blood applied to our lives. Just like God provided a way for the people before Calvary to have that blood applied to their lives. He had a covenant with Abraham. Now He has a covenant with His church. and it joins us all together, and the blood will never, never lose its power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Let me ask you this question. How long has it been since you felt condemned? Since you felt, oh man, I messed up again. But you don't have to answer. I don't want to know. I'm just asking you, but I don't want to know. You know, one thing I love about this church, we're not a gossiping church. We don't have anybody running around here talking behind people's back that I know of. That's just me. And I try not to do it. But I won't say anything, you know, behind your back, and I won't say in the pulpit, but, because sometimes, you know, I'd be caught up some subject, you know, somebody be with me, and I'm so into it, I'll blurt something I didn't mean to, but they all, you know, everybody seems to understand. I'm not trying to gossip. I just love everybody, and all of you seem like family, so I'll share something, and once in a while, something I share maybe comes back to me through somebody else, but I don't think that was gossip. I think it was maybe somebody spoke out of turn and just kind of repeated something they heard the preacher say because they love the preacher so much. He's like a daddy, you know. And, you know, Pop says things sometimes, just pops out of his mouth, but we understand him. But we've got a good church. We don't have any problems. We don't have any division. We don't have any, I mean, we have people come and go and can't, you know, they're at different levels. Some come for part of the service. Some leave. Some go to other things, but they're trying to be here as much as they can. We have no problem with any of that. Main thing that we want is people to keep trying, keep coming back, keep coming in, come in and out as many times as you can. Get all of this you can, because somewhere in all this coming and going, this seed is going to take root in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. And something's going to come forth that will make you realize, no matter what kind of struggle I'm going through, there's hope in Christ. There's hope in Christ. No matter how hard the preacher preaches, there's hope in Christ. No matter what I went through last week and even today, there's hope in Christ. There's healing provided for me. Amen. In the New Testament, those words are also used similar to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophet said, by his stripes we are healed. We get to the New Testament, we read, by his stripes ye were healed. Thank you, Jesus. So there's healing through what Jesus has provided. Amen. And everything is for his name's sake. That's why it's good to do all that you do in word or deed in the name of Jesus. Praise his name. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Worship him. Worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like Elijah. I just want to say to all of you that are struggling and trying to work things out, and you're hurting yourself, trying to please God, and you're just hurting yourself. I just want to shout out, choose ye this day whom you will serve. The God that offers hope and a life with no condemnation, or the flesh that offers nothing but struggle and chaos and hurt and anguish and disappointment. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I tell you what we need to do. We need to take all the prophets of flesh out and kill them. If your flesh be God, serve it. But if God be God, crucify yourself. Be crucified with him. Let your flesh be nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let your spirit take charge. Follow after the spirit, not after the flesh. Let your flesh die on the cross. And then let the Lord of the quick and the dead be your Lord of the living. And go forward from here, following after the Spirit. Then no matter how condemned you felt after the last two sermons, you could say, praise God, I'm free. And I still like my preacher anyhow. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise him some more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Work your way to the front, if you would, no matter where you are in life. A veteran, capital B believer, one that hasn't learned to do the ABCs yet, and you're trying to start believing, whoever you are. Those of you struggling, those of you who are full of confidence, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Got one thing in common. What we need is through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, through the mercy of the blood of the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, provides healing, restoration, makes everything work out right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God, Jesus. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Thank you, Jesus. My music teacher used to hit me on the knuckles with a ruler because I hit the wrong notes. And my daddy paid her to teach those music lessons. And when I'd hit those wrong notes, she was an impatient lady. She studied in Europe. She could say words that I'd never heard of before. She liked to show, she enjoyed showing me her education. She could play all these classical pieces that I didn't understand anything about what she was doing. I was trying to learn, here we go up a row to a birthday party. Here we go up a row to a, it was just three notes, but I didn't know how to read those three notes. Because she was so into her world of education and how much she had studied in Europe. And how much she had accomplished in her approach to studying the piano, that for most of the lessons she would teach me, she was showing me what all she knew. And then what I was supposed to have been practicing on all week, I didn't have it prepared. Why didn't I have it prepared? Because she didn't teach me. She assumed, because I had a little talent, and I could pick it up by ear, she assumed when I played that song that I understood what I was doing. But testing time always came when she would turn the page and say, now play this one. Same three notes in a different order. But I didn't know how to play. The only way I could know was for her at that point to show me how it's supposed to be played. She would put her fingers up there, and she'd play those notes. Then I would try it, but when I would mess up, she'd hit me with that ruler. Oh, I hated that woman. I hated that woman. I didn't want anything to do with her. I didn't ever want to go back to music lessons. My dad and mom forced me to go. They made me go back. And one day, after she hit me that ruler one more time, I made up my mind, I don't want to get hit by that ruler again. I'm tired of that sting on my hand. Sitting there, I'm playing those notes, and there. I couldn't do anything about it because I'd really get it when I got home, but I wanted to do some things. That I would do, I dared do not. I dared not to do. But I decided rather than keep on getting hit by that ruler, I'd open up that book and see if I could figure out those three notes. And I went home, and I worked on it. And I came back, and I played it, and my teacher smiled at me. Randall, you did it. You got your lesson. Now I'm going to give you something a little more difficult. And she kept on doing me that way for 3 years. 3 years. Every time I would finally get something where it was just right, she'd come at me with something I couldn't possibly do. And every time I'd mess up, there's that ruler again. Pew, you messed up. Yeah. That's all I'm doing as your pastor here. Trying to bring you up to a level where, hey, look, you can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. Amen. I may not be able to accomplish it, but I can track what I'm doing this with God helping me. I can tell you, I've been to Arkansas, and I've been to Louisiana, I've been to Canada, and I've been to Russia, and I've studied with preachers. I know Jeff Arnold personally, and Robert Bayer, and I traveled the Alaska Highway. We turned our Jeep over and had to have a snowplow pull us out. And you listen to Robert Bayer, he's one of the greatest preachers you'll ever hear. I can tell you all that, but you need something more than me telling you what all I've done. Perhaps some of this preaching is just a little slap with a ruler. It's not to run you away. It's not to hurt your feelings. It's to bring you back prepared so I can give you something more difficult. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise God again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Let us all find ourselves with no condemnation now. Walking with our God, following after the Spirit and not after the flesh, realizing that we don't always know what to do, but your blood was sufficient, your grace was sufficient to provide us with everything we need at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. For your name's sake, we gather together again, knowing that there's hope that we will have the church that you're trying to put together in Norwich, Connecticut. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're out there and you're an alcoholic, next time you're tempted to reach for that one drink that you know you dare not do it, but you're going to do it anyway, make sure you got a Bible with you. And just reach and get the Bible instead. And look to the Word of God. You'll find some strength. Praise God. You keep on doing that long enough and you're going to start finding out, hey, this is so much better. You're not even going to ever think about that again. Thank you, Jesus. You're struggling with drug addiction? Hey, next time you want to go pop a pill or smoke this or smell this or shoot up this, try to have a Bible close by. Turn to Jesus. Make your way to somebody that knows something about prayer. Amen. It may be difficult because all the time you're doing it, there's something pulling you another way. But hey, sometimes it takes going against the current, going against the wind. It takes not the easy road, but that difficult road. But if you could just get through this struggle, you're going to come out with no condemnation. In Christ Jesus, because you didn't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him again. Let's praise Him again. Amen.
Praise the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. No condemnation. Let's thank the Lord one more time. Come on. Think about what that's saying. No condemnation. I can wake up with a smile. Hallelujah. I can go to sleep with a smile. Without rebuke. Praise God. Lord, thank you for the Word of God tonight. For the truth that can set us all free. That God, after the Word of God has made us sorry, it can come back again and help us to learn how to rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Because we repented. Because we turned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Loving us so much, you'd pull us out of sin.
You can tear all of my friends.
That my ship just came sailing in.
Holy Ghost,
it came.
glad today. Get on board.
Get on board.
Come back rejoicing next service, and I'll see you then. Sunday, 3:00. God bless you. Amen.